with us today from St. Vladimir Seminary. Dr. Al led over 30 students yesterday in a retreat on anxiety, fear, and depression. So many of us are blessed by Al's ministry in the church, both at St. Vladimir's and in the speaking gigs that he takes around the country. And I think I've shared with you before, and you guys know that I'm a part of a peer group that meets four times a year, and Dr. Al is our facilitator. So his words and his ministry are important to me. And he's such a blessing to me personally. And if there's any help that I have as a priest, Dr. Al has a lot to play in that, along with my brother clergy and all of you. But I've asked him to share a homily with us today so that you can be blessed by him as well. So, Dr. Al, please.
It's a distinct honor, really, for me to be standing on this rock in this gorgeous temple. The icons in this temple are as beautiful and ravishing as any church I know. But a Hakka used to say that the parish gets the priest it deserves. I would have to say there must be something good going on in this parish to get what is needed. That's the way it is. It's all interactive. It is. Brother Steve and I are way back and done a lot of work together. We're friends and I'm very proud of him. One of the best priests I know. That's the truth. So, for today's homily, with you, I'd like to reflect on a line from the epistle that's really striking, profound, earth-shattering, really. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. No longer I who live, no longer you who live, but Christ lives in me. And that's the truth. That's God's word to us. And where Christ is, the Father and the Holy Spirit are always. He's never alone. He said that. So we have within us the Trinity. But it's also true, I know and you know, that we have two Trinities in us. Underneath the sweater, there are two Trinities. The Nicene, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the other dark Trinity, me, myself, and I. And they're at war. They're at war all day, all evening, all night long. And the secret of life, as best we can, is to have the one Trinity ascend in us and the other ego spotlight on me, Trinity, descend. And what that means is we begin slowly to change our awareness into his awareness, which we call intuition. And we have a couple of awarenesses in us. One is mind, rational, logic, which is wonderful. And the other awareness, which is intuitive and musical and different. And the two blend together nicely. How do we encourage more this Christ in the intuition side? I'd like to say it to you in one word. Meditation. Meditation. That's time we choose, chunk of time, to actually sit, have a little timer for a certain number of minutes, and actually allow Christ in us to prevail. And we do that by regularly and gently saying, repetitively saying a little prayer, the Jesus prayer, over and over and over. And the theology is, as we speak silently, God is speaking and transforming us at that time. We have no idea how that really works, of course, but we believe that. Now I say that to challenge myself and challenge you. Brother Hopko, in his 55 Maxims on the Internet, one of the maxims, which he wrote for himself and shares with us as sort of ways to live a Christian life. One of the maxims is, every Christian, not only Orthodox, but every Christian, should meditate 20 to 30 minutes a day. You can ask yourself, okay. Do I do that as regularly as I can? I'll suppose you do, for your sake. In lieu of that, yesterday with the youth, and they were really wonderful, and I went over this in much more detail with them, the youth that's here at classes, teach the adults later today after the Divine Liturgy, after coffee over, a little bit more of an expansion on this idea of meditation. But because it's what God wants, what He said He wants. In Exodus 14:14, probably the highlight of the whole Old Testament, Passover, God's chosen people are in the desert heading to the promised land with provisions for one day that God provides manna. They come to the Red Sea. We can't get across. And Moses leads the whole nation. We don't know how many, but some say 6,000, some say 60,000. They're aware they can't get across. And they turn around and they see the Egyptians, Pharaoh, charioteers, coming with brass on horses to kill them. And this is God's word for us. It says in Exodus, just prior to 14:14, the Israelites became sarcastic. And they said to Moses, "What? There weren't enough graves in Egypt to bring us into the desert to die." That's high drama. And at that point, Yahweh says to Moses to tell the people, "The Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. I will fight for you. You have only to be still." This is a homily, I don't have last time. But I could go on 2 hours and say the whole Old Testament and New is about God's people, you and me, refusing to be still. I just won't do it. Why? Because I want to think what I want to think when I want to think it. Thank you. And I'm not going to take my thought process, my Trinity, me, myself, and I, and put it aside for other thoughts. I'm just not going to do that. So in Isaiah, 650 years later, Isaiah says, same thing, in stillness and in trust is your salvation. And the next words are, and you would not. You won't want, you won't be still. And it says, you said, oh no, we're going to ride on our steeds, on our horses. We're not going to be still. We say that today. So this is a challenge. It's always a challenge for us to reduce our ego trinity. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. It's a very important sense because the converse is implied. If I'm not still and know God, then if I'm not still, I might not know God. And then I might not know myself. When we begin this inner transformation to work on intuition, then we can handle ambiguity much better. And we begin to understand most of life for us creatures is ambiguous. Obviously the future is ambiguous. I'll drive 4 hours this afternoon back to New York. How's the traffic going to be? Will there be a great big 18-wheeler coming at me? I don't know. I don't know. So about the future is pretty clear. And we never say to somebody, ever never say to somebody, things will get better. Why? Because we're not God. Who would predict the future? The person I'm saying, things might, and don't worry, things will get better. That person might be hit by a bus this afternoon. We're careful what we say and what we think. And I would also make a case that the past is in some part ambiguous. There are times we really don't know, and it's important to know that we don't know things in the past. For example, my daughter, I have two children, my wife is dead. When my daughter had two children, one afternoon she called and she said, with a very strict voice, "Dad?" "Yes, sweetheart." "What's up?" "6 months ago, Greg, her husband, and I wanted a third child. Greg wanted a third child, I didn't. Now, I want a third child, but he doesn't. We want to know your opinion." I looked at the phone. And I said, "Sweetheart, that's too intimate a question for me. I don't have an opinion." And I'll tell you exactly what she said in church. I said this. She said, "Dad, don't hear me that crap." She said, "You have an opinion about everything. Just I said, "Sweetheart, if you have a third child, that's fine. If you don't have a third child, that's fine. I don't know. Ambiguity, I don't know." So, rather reluctantly, she hung up. They do have a third child. My point is that, was I right or wrong? I don't know. I've told people that anecdote, and some people say to me, "Oh, you should have told it the Orthodox position, blah, blah, blah." Maybe. We learn to live more with, I don't know. And the formula is, A, I know that I don't know. B, Christ knows. C, I try to trust him. When I was in my doctoral studies, a prof said, the sign of mental health is the ability to handle ambiguity. So if I and you want to grow up more, we meditate more, we become more intuitive as well as rational, we live with ambiguity because it's fine. I really don't know when I'm going to die. My dear friend, Father Huck, is dead. My wife is dead. They're dancing in heaven. Okay. And my day will come. Till then, we go, there's so much to say about this. When we meditate and become more intuitive, we strain less. We don't need to strain as much. It's so important. One time, a young woman, Diana, said, stopped going to church, evangelical. In the mall, she met her pastor. He said, "Oh, Diane, I see you're here. You haven't been in church for a while. What's happened?" She says, "I'm never going back to church again." "Oh, Diane, that's interesting. You've been to 3 churches in the last 3 years. So you've had some differences." She said, "Yeah. All you pastors say the same thing. A, God is good. B, I am bad. C, try harder." "It doesn't work." And you know what? Diane's right. That does not work. We don't try harder and then accomplish our little efforts and say, "Oh, finally, I'm a half-decent Christian." No. We're creatures defiled, saved, soulless, it says so nicely, both in the epistle and the gospel, by grace. And it even leads us to a different concept of death. I was there when my wife died, White Plains Hospital. And I can stand in front of you and say, my idea of when my last breath comes, how I would like to behave. Last breath, gone, dead. then judgment. We Orthodox believe it's self-judgment. The Lord's going to say, judge yourself. In fact, he's going to say to me, Al, I gave you a half-decent brain. How did you do writing peer-reviewed books and articles? And say, oh, Lord, have mercy. He's going to say, I gave you 2 children and 5 grandchildren to raise into strong human beings. How'd you do? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I gave you 30 seminaries a semester to teach. How did you do? Lord, have mercy. And he's going to say, Al, is that all you can say is, Lord, have mercy? And I'm going to say, Lord, have mercy. And you know what he's going to say? Come on in. We have nothing to bring to the table. It's not like I did this and that and this and that. So, no. All the good that we do is God doing it through us, as the Good Samaritan says so nicely. So I'll finish with the beginning, where we end for you. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Awesome.